Anytime you're ready.
Okay, good evening, everyone. So, this originally was supposed to be a one-week shiur, the topic which I really would have wanted to do in 1 week, but as the week continued, so it got larger and larger. So I think we'll split it up into two. We'll try to cover the parts which have to do with this week's parsha this week, so that at least while we're learning the parsha, while we're being Mavre Sedra, we'll be able to associate some of the ideas that we discuss with the Sedra, and then next week we'll finish it up and deal more with the Halacha Lemaisa. So the topic I want to discuss tonight is surrogacy in Halacha. I think I meant to advertise it, but I don't think the email went out. What they told me is that the email did not go out. Surrogacy in Halacha is what it was originally titled. Now, surrogacy means different things to people in different generations. So what a surrogate mother used to be is that someone else was impregnated. How the person got impregnated was different in different times. Someone else held the baby, and there was a deal signed, a contract signed, that the baby is going to be given to these two parents. For whatever reason, either the mother of the couple, the woman of the couple, wasn't interested in carrying the baby, or she was unable to carry the baby. So whatever it was, they had someone else carry the baby. The baby is delivered, and then once the baby is delivered, the baby is given over to the couple who commissioned this baby. That was original surrogacy, and it's an interesting topic because very often what happened was, and there are actually court cases about this, after dealing with the nausea and everything that comes with pregnancy after 9 months, the surrogate mother decided, you know what, I'm not interested in giving this baby up, I want to keep the baby. But in Halacha, there's very little to discuss. There's no doubt that the mother who carried the baby and who gave birth to it is the mother. Where things become a little bit more controversial is what we call gestational surrogacy. And that is something which is only really have become very relevant to Halacha Lemaisa in the past few, I would say, 3 or 4 decades, where there is, it's part of an infertility treatment. There are many different types of infertility treatments. The most simple infertility treatments, once you're dealing in this area, is what's something called IUI, which is where they actually inject the zera into the woman. Then outside, the next step is, if for whatever reason, that's usually if the problem of becoming pregnant is from the mitzad ha'ish, so that takes care of it. Then there's IVF, where very often there's different ways of doing it, but very often the actual fertilization of the embryo takes place outside of, in a test tube, outside the guf of the woman, and then eventually it's put back into the guf of the woman. But then there's another area, another type of fertility treatment, which very often will incorporate IVF, but that is where, for whatever reason, one person's egg is used, and she is not the person whose egg is used, and therefore the biological or genetic mother, we should say, of the child, so she is not the one who carries the baby. And this could happen for either because the woman who wants to be a mother is unable to carry a baby to full term, or the woman that wants to be a mother, her eggs for some reason can't be fertilized. So for one reason or another, so you have one woman whose egg is being used to fertilize for the actual embryo, and another woman who is being implanted into her body in order for her to carry the baby to term. Now this becomes a very complicated shaila, obviously, when we try to decide who is al pi din the halachic mother. Who's the mother of this baby? On the one hand, one woman gave her egg to be the embryo, for the embryo. On the other hand, the entire embryo is growing, is developing within the womb of a second woman. So now this baby, Baruch Hashem, is born, a happy, healthy baby, but we don't know who the mother is. And obviously, that has many, many different nafkaminas, halacha lemaisa. Less halacha lemaisa, more academic, is a nafkamina, whether and this is something the Pesukim discuss, let's say a woman is obligated in Pru Revu, is it considered her child? But more relevant is, who are her relatives, right? We have to know who she's able to marry, who she's not able to marry. Or we have to know many different areas of halacha. Let's say, who is she chayv to be mechabit? Who is she chayiv skila if Rachmana Leslan she hits a person? The baby hits. Who's the mother? Kibud Aveim. All the dinim that have to do with the mother. If one of these mothers, either one is not Jewish, is the baby Jewish? One's Jewish, one's not Jewish. Well, we have to know who the mother is to decide whether the baby's Jewish or whether they need a geris. Very relevant to halacha lemaisa, and these things happen. So why I'm discussing this week, you will see very shortly if you've not figured it out already. But before we jump into the halacha of who the mother is, I first want to give a little bit of a disclaimer, so to speak. There is a general question in halacha, which I don't want to deal with right now, for multiple reasons. Perhaps we will discuss it in upcoming weeks. I haven't decided yet if it's something I want to discuss yet. And that is just in general, the permissibility of these fertility treatments. This is something which is very new, and therefore, because it's so new, there's not a lot of documented halacha on it. And there are different feelings from many different poskim, from different groups, and it's constantly changing. Because the procedures are constantly changing, so the halachas are constantly changing. And also, it has to do, part of the reason why I'm uncomfortable dealing with it is because a lot of the piskei halacha are what we would call meta-halachic. There are other concerns, outside concerns, that aren't necessarily rooted deeply in firm halacha that the poskim have a problem with it. And that's why there's a wide range. There are poskim that say, can't touch it, don't even go near it, there's problems, and there are poskim that encourage it. And I would say that over the past few, we're seeing the pendulum swing, that when it started, it was much more don't go near it, and now we're seeing slowly but surely that the poskim are much more comfortable with it, which has to do with a lot of different factors. Probably most significantly is that there was a major concern at the beginning when these things became very popular. There was a major concern of what they call hashkacha. Now you read some of these piskei halacha, you say hashkacha. What are you talking about hashkacha? Hashkacha is in a meat market, in a grocery. What do I need hashkacha here? What hashkacha means in this realm of halacha basically is how certain we are that they're not confusing different people's zera, different people's eggs, which was a major concern. And even in the secular literature, you could find a lot of this conversation, because this has happened, where the different banks have confused from different people, and they're not sure, they mix and match, and that was a major concern in halacha. But the more adequate the hashkacha is, and the more efficient the procedures are becoming, so the less of a concern that is, and then you have other concerns. So I'm just going to share with you, to begin with, two tshuvas which come out very, very against, very, very harsh, perhaps we should say, against these fertility things, just to show to you that that itself is not a simple question. Now, I'm not trying to say that a person shouldn't go through it. On the contrary, I think it's definitely something a person should pursue, but he has to do so, he or she has to do so with halachic guidance. And the reason why I'm bringing this is to show that that itself is not simple. So we're going to be discussing for the next 2 weeks or so who the mother is. You shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the very concept to begin with is a question and is a shiloh which has to be asked. And we're going to be discussing the next question. Once the procedure they've decided to go on and take part in this procedure, who is the parent al-Pidin. So let's take a look at Rav Vosner. Obviously, any tshuva about this topic is going to be fairly recent. Says Rav Vosner, Mar Malkam number one, Basi lahashuv bekitzer lekvotarasa al-esek nidon ha-pundakis. Nidon ha-pundakis is talking about a surrogate mother, pundakis. Be'isha she'ein zara mesugo liyatzer vlad, with a woman who cannot biologically have children. Her eggs are not able to be fertilized. Ben Kayama, Umarkivim lo lefi hamtzos harofim zera meisha cheres. They give her an egg from a different woman, shemischaber acher kachim zera bala, which is fertilized from the zera of her husband, vehavlad nolan meha'im, and the baby is born from the mother, vinotzer mi zera isha zara vizera bala. So exactly our case that we are discussing. We have a woman, one woman donates the egg, another woman carries the baby, who is considered to be the mother, al pi din. Says Rav Vosner, Daiti ha'aniya barash is a maisa iser. So they're asking who the mother is. He says, whoa, how do you even get that? My clear opinion on this is that the whole thing is usher to begin with. Maisa iser, rechoka mikedushas ha-Torah, very distant from the kedusha of Torah. U'mitzvah l'rachka b'shtei yadayim. And a person should avoid it as much as he could. V'lo yo'ilu kan kol ha-pilpulim. Says Rav Vosner, I'm looking in all the Torah journals and all the rabbanim and postgame are talking about who's the mother and all the halachic shailas that come out of such a scenario. He says, I don't know what this great discussion is about. Every Rav is coming with another raya from the Gemara, this and that. He says, Shukar Nosim, and Nosim is the Ezra Bonin. B'inyan ha'yichos shalavlad. Who do we go, Basar? Who's the mother? Who's the father? Maslina and Basar Hazera. Do we go with that person who donates the egg, or Basar Eima Malida, or the mother who gave birth? Ki achas barar upashe, ki koach hayitzira utchuna savlad beivar v'muhusa, munach bezera ha'isha, betzirif im zera bala. V'al ze kotzva toras hakadosha, v'dav torasenu hakadosha, v'davak be'ishto. Our Torah says, "V'davak be'ishto," a child is supposed to be created with through regular union of a man and his wife. V'sanhedrin nunches v'loy ve'eshes chaveira u'b'mikra zemefurish v'davak be'ishto v'hayu lebaser echad v'koy al havlad hanoter b'shneim. Shezera Yosei Mehem Shenase Basar Ava Eim Echarba VeIsaka Daituch Shemuter Al Pi Torah Kemaise. If you're going to tell me that what they're doing is mutter, Hare Efsheli Yos Davik BeIshto Yos LeBasar Echadim Eishes Chavero. They shouldn't say that it's Dafka BeIshto, because it could be that you have a child with Eishes Chavero, because she'll be donating the egg. Now, obviously, a person can easily deflect this raya. I'll begin by saying that we weren't talking about such case. We're talking about a normal scenario. My intention over here is not to analyze the raya back and forth. I'm convinced that he had an issue with this, and he thinks that there's a problem, as he states from the get-go. It's a pagam, for whatever reason he saw, again, not our discussion now, it's a pagam in Kedusha to Torah. It's something which, perhaps there's a slippery slope, something which bothered him, and now he's bringing piling on the halachas.
Isn't that a case where the two parents, the woman donates the egg but then can't carry it, so the egg was fertilized with her husband and then implanted in another woman? That's not the case.
That's not the specific case he's talking about,
and,
right.
And his
his raya is not right.
It would not apply in that situation.
Well, it probably would also. He basically has a problem any time that one person's donating, one person's carrying, because it's not necessarily... Yeah, you're right. In your case, the zera didn't come from the husband, but...
No, it did. In my case, the zera and the egg
came from the two married people. Right, exactly. I imagined he'd have a problem with both. But, Hare Efsha Liyos Dovek B'Ishto, Uliyos Lebaser Echorim Eishas Chavera Ustam Zara Bivlad. Hanotzer Mishneim, V'Torah covers el etnai rishon shon lisuin, liyos lebaser echad ayidei zera shneim. No, they have to, has to be the zera of the two people in the union. Okay. Misha eino rota lechalo kedushas derosav, person who doesn't want to be mechalo, doesn't want to desecrate the kedusha of his ancestry. Yivrach mimaisan al kuboy reyach me'esh. So he comes out there against it. Again, my intention here, not at all to say that this is the only view. On the contrary, I think the more and more that we, as time goes on, we see more and more poskim coming and not only permitting it, but advocating it for it. But it's just important to know that a person who engages in such things should do so with the guidance of a Rav. Let's take a look at the...
This tshuva...
No, it's definitely within the last 30 years, but I don't know when. I don't know when. Not necessarily, no. Probably not. Exactly. That's exactly my point. Exactly my point.
Is he still alive?
He died very recently. But still.
He never changed his mind on the subject.
He never wrote that he changed his mind. It could be in the last. But again, that's exactly my point. That this should not be taken as conclusive author because of that. This thing is always evolving. My only point is over here that originally when it came out, it was looked upon as a problem. And therefore, there are certain things which a person should ask a shiloh, but on the contrary, I think that there are many, many more poskim now that will permit something like this. I'm just trying to show that there are people that had a problem with it, again. But yes, it's exactly right. Take a look at Marmakum number 2, where the Tzitz Eliezer gives his conditions for engaging in such a procedure. Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg, who was probably the last word in medical halachic ethics in terms of in the last generation. He was the Rav of Shari Tzedek. So says Rav Waldenberg, Reish is Dover. First thing, Zos Ladas, Kigam Bahazra Malachtis, any type of infertility treatment, IVF, anything like this, Shel Halbal, where you take the zera of the husband, el toch rachma shel isha, and you put it inside the woman, shu kil meharbe, beharbe mi bechinas halacha, meafra melachtas michutz lerechem nisabdinin. He says, the first things first, if a person could do what we call IUI as opposed to IVF, that's much preferred. IVF is where the fertilization is taking place outside the body of the woman. IUI is where the fertilization is taking place inside the body of the woman. So he says IUI is much preferred. You never have to, the fertilization is always inside the woman's body. B'chol zeis rabu gam rabu ba besifras halacha, chiluke shitos videyes. Yeshenem osim legamre. As we mentioned, there's those that say the whole thing is also legamre. I said, pu'ula, this action, mikama bechinos v'chashashos, in yonos v'vdiyos. Yeshenem atirim moisa. And yet there are those that permit it. Im hasnos kama hagvalos, but with certain conditions. So let's take a look at what his conditions are quickly. Aleph, kol ol shiyish tikva shezug yachol lihibanos kederech kol aretz ein lemaher lahatir zos. First, they have to give a significant amount of time where they try to have children in under normal circumstances. Now, this is also something which I believe is constantly changing, and a person, especially a rav, has to be very, very in touch with the literature that's coming out, because you can't be, just like a doctor can't be using old data, a Rav also can't be using old data. It used to be that the common psak across the board was that if a couple didn't wait 10 years, so you don't try any of this. Then it went down a little bit when we became more popular, 6-5. These things are becoming so much more popular that many Rabbanim who are very involved in the field, allow it much sooner. I don't want to say a time because I don't want anyone to construe my words. It depends on the age of the girl. It depends on a lot of different factors. And it's so much more common now that we could identify medically, identify what the issue is. So once you identify what the issue is, so we'll know whether time will help. So nowadays it's a much, much different shiloh than it was. And you have people that go to big talmidei chachamim, big Moirei Hara, but you have to know, and they ask them the Shaila, and they say wait, and it could be they say wait because they hold it to wait, but it could be they're saying to wait because they were educated in this 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So it's very important to know when the person's getting his information, because this is an area of halacha which is constantly changing. So the first thing, if you take a look in this tshuva, I don't know when it was written, but it was written many years ago. So his hashara is a person should wait 10 years. But whether that would still apply now, I would doubt it. Take a look at Marmakam number, at Oz Beis. What's Tanai number 2? In Kvar Avru Eser Shanim Min Nisuei Hazug, Osh is Bar Kvar L'Chalutin. It's already decided medically. Ayidei Kfil Shom Rofin. The doctors already said that Alpi Teva, it's very unlikely that they're going to get pregnant. So then you could begin such procedures. Next Oz. Yeshem Hamatir Mesavitzur Rak Bimei Tarasa Shala Isha. Very interesting Shaila. Perhaps we'll discuss it differently. Is the woman during this procedure, obviously you're not going to be regular relations. Do you have to make sure that the woman is not Anida? Or that's only for regular relations. But if she's conceiving via any of these mechanisms, who said that she can't be Anida? Or perhaps we can still consider that child will be a Ben Nida. Very interesting question in the postgame, not for tonight. Next oath. Yeshen matir mabitu gambi me luvana. There are those that say maybe you shouldn't do while she's actually seeing Dam Nidus, but once she has a Hefzatara, then you could do it. Gimel, the Ksasa matir lasezos afil bimei nidasa. And this is a very important point, which in Eretz Yisrael, they've really advanced in this area. The mikra shel haros, heter, where you do matter such a thing, yesh lahashkiach b'sheva einayim shelo ya'arvu chalila b'zera habal gam zera shel ish acher. And there are obviously very, very scary stories about this where they mix up the different zera, and that's a big problem. So he's very adamant about that there's a real good hashkacha, and these religious banks in Eretz Yisrael that deal with this are very, very makbid about it. But that is a real concern. So having put that on the said that on the onset, that this whole thing is the area of Shaila LaHalacha, which is not so simple, but there, Baruch Hashem, with the advancement of medicine and technology, Halacha has advanced as well, and Baruch Hashem, for people that are having a hard time conceive, there are many different options. Now that we've established that itself is a Shaila, so let's say a family goes through such a procedure, as we've been saying before, the most complicated procedure, where there's a surrogate mother, a gestational surrogacy where one woman donates the egg and the other woman carries the child to term. Who is considered to be the mother? And what's interesting about this is that an area Torah, which was probably always understood to be purely academic, all of a sudden becomes relevant halacha l'maisa. Take a look at Maror Makom number 3, where we see a pasuk in this week's parsha. Uvnei Shimon Yimuel v'yamin v'ohad v'yachin v'tzochar v'sha'ol ben haknanis. Now, who is Sha'ol ben haknanis? You don't have to look too far to take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, ben haknanis, ben Dina, Sha'ol was the son of Dina. Shenivanal kanani, because we know Dina had relations with Shechem, shenivanal l'knani. Kishahargu eshchem, lohaisa Dina. Dina wrote the lotes. They kill Shechem, and now the brothers come to get her back, and they say, Dina, come with us. And Dina says, I'm not going anywhere. Who's going to marry me now? I don't want to go with you. They say, so Dina wouldn't leave until her brother Shimon promised to marry her. Well, I said, Dina wrote the lotes, at shenishba lo Shimon sheyisena. I'm not leaving this palace of Shechem until Shimon, you, my brother, you promise that you will marry me. Now, obviously, this is a big problem, which the Mefarshei, starting with the Rishonim already, deal with on this week's Parsha. Shimon is going to marry Dina. Shimon was the son of Leah. Dina was the son of Leah. You're not allowed to marry your sister, Mina'im. Even a non-Jew, none of the discussions about whether they were a Kabbal Torah or not, that's not going to help us. Even non-Jews are not allowed to marry their sisters. So what's going on over here? Shimon married his sister. They both shared the same mother also. They're full sisters. How is this possible? Shimon married this? And this is asked by the Rishonim. The Tur, right? The son of the Rosh. The Tur wrote Baal HaTurim, but he also wrote a Perish HaTur al HaTorah, which is not in the Mikraos Gedolos. But if you look at the Perish HaTur al HaTorah, he asks this question. And take a look at the photocopy that I gave you. The Baalei HaTosfos asks this, as well as many of the other Mefarshim. Oth Yud in the photocopy, I circled it. Vishao ben HaKenanis, says the Moshe Zakenin Baalei HaTosfos. Perish Rashi, Zu Dina Shenivala Leknani, Vitema, Heyach Nasa Shimon Es Achoso. How did Shimon marry his sister? Valo Achoso Min Ha'eim Asura Livnei Noach. She's not allowed to marry his sister. V'yesh Loimar De'ein Lahem Arayis Ela Be'ulas Ba. First shot in the Moshe's Canaan is perhaps the only erva which was Aser was when she was already had relations. We want to focus on the second answer. The Einira Eliyesh Loimar Sheikir Harayon Sheldina Bibatan Rachel Haya. Oh, you're forgetting about a medrash. Well, where was the conception? Where was the fertilization, the conceive, where was Dina conceived? We all know the Medrash, what the Gemara tells us, that Dina was originally conceived in Rachel, and who was supposed to have Yosef? Leah was supposed to have Yosef, putting her over the edge, having more Shvatim. Leah davens to Hashem, it's not fair. If Rachel doesn't even have the amount of Shvatim as the Imos have, as the Shifachos have, so then they switched. And Leah got Dina, and Yosef got, and Rachel got Yosef. So that's what the Baal HaTosfos says. You want to know why Shimon is allowed to marry his sister? No, because it's not really his sister, because really Dina was the child of Rachel. Where did the egg come from? Where was fertilization? Yeah, it switched to Leah after, but originally it was in Rachel. Now all of a sudden, in the late 1900s, this becomes halacha l'maisa. You have one woman who donates the egg for all intents and purposes, another woman who gives birth, that's Leah. So who's the brother? Who's the sister? Who's the mother? So it seems to be the Baal HaTosfos over here are saying, very simple, why was Shimon allowed to marry? Shimon was only allowed to marry her because the real mother is not Leah who gave birth. The real mother is Rachel. That's where the conception took place. Fascinating comment of the Moshe of Zakenu. Take a look at the Gemara, because this is not so simple. Take a look at the Gemara. Okay. We're just beginning, right? The problem with having Shir in this room is that I can't see the clock. So we'll be here all night. The clock in the other... Oh, there's one behind me. Okay. In the other room, it's nice and clear, you know. So. Okay. Whether I like it or not, it's over, right? So this is not so simple. Very creative, very clever answer by the Baal HaTosfos, by the Tur. But let's delve into the Gemara and see that this is making, they're making certain assumptions over here. Take a look at the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samach, Omer Aleph, Maror Makom number 5. The Achar Yolda Bas. Afterwards, she gave birth, Leah, to a daughter, Vatikra Shema Dina, and she called her Dina, my Va'acher. By the other Shvatim to say Va'acher, what over here, Va'acher, Yolda, Bathwa, my Va'acher. Omerav, because the Torah is alluding to a story over here. What's the story? La'acher Shadona Leah Din Ba'atzma. Leah gave a judgment on herself, Ve'omra, and she said as follows, Shremasar Shvatim Asidim Lotes Me'Yakov. I know that Yaakov Avinu is going to have 12 Shvatim. Shisha, I already had 6 of them. Half, I already have. Ve'arba min hashvachos. And I know that Bila and Zilpa, each one had 2, 4. So the only 2 left. Harei Asara. The only 2 left. Imze Zachar. If the one that I am pregnant with says Dileya, if the one that I'm pregnant with is a boy, so Rachel is going to be even less than the shvachos. Lo tehei achosi Rachel ka'achas hashvachos. Miyad nepcha lebas. Immediately it switches to a daughter. Shenema v'tikra eshima dina. And that's what it means, v'tikra eshima dina. Now if you would have read simple pshat in this Gemara, I believe that you would have concluded, and I forgot the Emes Liakov, because he makes this point very clearly. If you read simple pshat in this Gemara, you would have learned, what does it mean, nepcha lebas? Was there one embryo came out of Rachel and went to Leah, and the other went from Leah to Rachel? No, it was a boy, and it was supposed to end, it changed to a girl. In fact, the context of the Gemara over here is that the Gemara is saying that if a person is pregnant, or a person's wife is pregnant, he's not allowed to daven that the sex changes, because that's already established. And the Gemara brings this, this wasn't established. The Gemara says, no, it's different in Nace, you can't bring a proof from Nace. But what do you clearly assume the story is happening? Even the Nace, what was the Nace? Not that the embryo switched, but that it went from being a male to a female, and the other one went from being a female to male. If that's the case, so then the Balei HaTosfos' answer is down the drain. You don't tell me that Dina's not really Shimon's sister because the fertilization happened in Rachel's womb. No, it didn't. Everyone kept their embryo. The sexes just shifted. So clearly, Balei HaTosfos are not learning like that, and we know why they're not learning that, because if you take a look at the Marsha on that Gemara, he already discusses this issue. What does the Marsha say? So based on the Gemara in Nida, he explains as follows. Take a look at the Gemara in Nida, the next Marmakam. Amr Reb Yitzchak, Amr Reb Ami, Isha Mezas Tchila. The woman gives her zera first in the fertilization process. If she gives her zera first, the egg comes down first, so you let the zachar, then it's going to be a boy. Ish Mizriya Tchila. But if the zera of the man comes first, Yoledes Nekeva, then it ends up being a girl. How do we know this? Shenemar, Isha Kisazriya V'yolda Zohar. Tanur Abanan, so it depends who Zera comes first. We'll decide what sex the embryo is. Tanur Abanan, Birishoinoya Oimrim, they used to say, Isha Mizras Tchila, if a woman is Mazriya Tchila, Yoledes Zohar. Ish Mazriya Tchila, Yoledes Nekeva. V'lo Pershuk HaChamim Esadar, but they didn't explain where they get this from. Well, it's just a Misora, it was the Kabbalah, how'd they know this? Ad Sheba Reb Tzadok, Reb Tzadok came, Uperish, and they explained. Where do we learn this out from? Ela b'nei Leya, Shel Yolda Liyakov, B'padana Ram. Ve'ez Dina Bito. What does it mean, Ve'ez Dina Bito? Tala Dina, Tala Hazacharim b'nei Kevos. When it talks about the males, it talks about the Shvatim, it just says who the mother is. But now it talks about Dina, b'nei Kevos, b'zacharim, it says that Dina is on Yaakov. How do you see? You see that a girl comes if the man is Mazriya Tchila, and a boy comes if the woman is Mazriya Tchila. That's what the Gemara's proof is, that it depends who is Mazriya Tchila, who Zera comes down first, decides the sex of the baby. Es Marsha, Navias Kasha, says Marsha, Mar Malkum number 7, Ve'ez Dina Bito, Tala Zacharim b'nei Kevos, and the Kevos b'zacharim, Yesh Lahakshayit. The Dina Zachar Haya. You're bringing me a proof from the fact that it says Dina was the daughter of Yaakov, then it must be for a female. The man has to be Mazriya first. But what was Dina originally? Dina was a male. The only reason she's a female is because of Anais. The whole proof falls by the wayside. What are you talking about? Answers the Marsha. V'yesh la'akshos, da dina zachar haya, v'nebcha l'nekeva, she only switched to be nekeva, because the isa berka roya. V'imkein ikar yitzirasa zachar haya, she was really originally a boy. V'leya hizriya tchila, v'nebcha l'nekeva haya deit filas imos. The Harem, the Mizrahi, already asked this question. But says the Marsha, I don't like his answers. Tirtu b'dechukim. But he says, I did find an interesting teretz, which I do like. B'shem Sefer Paneach Razi, Shemati Letaret. Ha, dinepcha dina lebat, hainu shazachar shebebetan leia, nitam bebetan rochel. Vanakeva shebebetan rochel, nitam bebetan leia. Says the Marsha, you see from this Gemara, it wasn't that the embryo switched sexes, then the whole Gemara doesn't make sense. It has to be that Dina was always a girl, and Shimon was always a boy. What does the Gemara mean? That they switched the uterus that they were in, they switched the female body, and therefore we can bring a proof, because each embryo was originally what it was, and they just switched from one uterus to the other. Yaakov Kamenetsky brings a few marmakomas, fascinating marmakomas, if anyone's interested, on this week's Parsha, I believe it's this week's Parsha, where he shows that there are many places in Chazal where the Gemara, where Chazal indicate that Yosef had certain female characteristics. We know Yosef was Misalsal Beroshai. That's what Gemara says is Derech Nairus. It's a Derech of women. And we know that Dina was a Yetzonis. She would go out, the Gemara says, that's like a man goes out into the fields. Says Rabbi Yaakov, based on these Medrashi Chazal, because why? Because yeah, they did switch, and a female became a male became a female, but certain of the basic DNA tendencies maintained. That's obviously assuming that it was a real switch of the sexes, according to the Marsha, according to these Mefarshim, according to the Baalei Tosis, that are bringing proofs to our sugya from this, bringing proofs and saying, therefore, you're allowed to marry Shimon, so obviously there's no switch of the sexes. It doesn't make sense to say that Yosef had any female characteristics. Yosef was always a male, just that his embryo switched from one uterus to the next uterus. So that's an interesting discussion about this week's parasha on these psukim, on exactly what the story was. Was the story that there was a switch in the sex? Or no, there can't be any ever a switch in the sex. What happened was there was a switch in the embryo from uterus to uterus. Now, only if you assume that the embryo switched from one uterus to the next uterus, then you already get involved in our sugya. Then, first of all, the Tosis makes sense. Tosis says, why is Shimon allowed to marry Dina? Shimon's allowed to marry Dina because they're not really sisters. Why? Because this embryo really started off in a different womb. You think they're sisters? Why? Because she gave birth? Nah, there's nothing to do with it. She gave birth? That doesn't make you a sister. What makes you a sister? Which mother was the cause of fertilization? Which mother gave the egg? Now, obviously, this has a lot of ramifications for our sugya. You want to know, our sugya is, the basic question is, when one woman donates the egg, another woman carries the term. Who's the mother? So based on this Baalei Tosis, it would seem clear that if we're considering Dina to really be the daughter of Rachel and not the daughter of Leah, obviously we're going with the mother whose egg it is rather than the mother who gives birth to it. Now, it's not so simple, because the Torah does say...
They still have the same father.
Yeah, they're still the same father, but for non-Jews, that's not a problem. So that's a separate question of whether they kept the Torah. But we're talking about... Our major problem was that for Goyim, it's only an achos min ha'em, so that we've taken care of because they have different mothers. So, if we still haven't gotten out of the woods entirely, because even if this is the case, the Torah does testify that who was Yosef's mother? Now, if you're going to tell me that really the real mother is the mother who had the egg, so who's Yosef's real mother?
Leah.
So we haven't gotten out of the woods yet entirely, but at least at a beginning to discuss this question, the Baalei Tosis seems to indicate that the real mother, or at least to be considered a real mother, there are four options over here. Again, either we consider both of them to be the mother, or we consider the one who had fertilization to be the mother, or the one who gave birth to be the mother, or in a case where you split them up, neither of them are the mother. Maybe to be a mother, you have to both be the one whose egg it is, and you have to give birth. There are four options the place can discuss all four and entertain all four possibilities.
You can have both mothers.
Yeah, either both are mothers, neither are mothers, or either one is the mother.
That's the age of gestation.
In this story, it's not. I don't think there's any indication. The poskim do Scott in our Shiloh. The poskim do differentiate perhaps between before 40 days and after 40 days. But in this story, I don't think there's any indication when that when it took place. So let's take a look at what the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel says. He actually says explicitly. He says, like the Maharsha, he says explicitly. Take a look in Marmakam number 8, where Pasuk in Vayetz, it says, V'achi yolda bas v'tikra shema dina, says the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. We'll skip to the second line. V'shamia min kadam Hashem tzelusa de Leia. Hashem heard the prayer of Leia. V'ischalfi ubraya b'meyehon. And she switched the embryos. V'hava yahiv yosef b'meyeh de Rachel, v'dina b'meyeh de Leia. So it's clear in Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, like the Balei HaTosfos are learning, like the Maharsha is learning, that there was actually a switch that took place. Once there's a switch that took place, now perhaps you can bring a proof from this sugya to our sugya. And this is where really many of the posts can begin. Many posts can say, perhaps the best proof we have, the most similar to a gestational surrogate mother, is this case that happened over here. And you see that, at least according to the Balei HaTosfos, you see that Kurva, who's the real sister, is based on the mother. The mother is the one who had fertilization, who gave the egg. But just Leda, just the fact that it gave birth, that itself is not considered to be, you are not considered to be the mother. Now again, it could be that neither of them are the mother. That's a valid option. It could be that Alpidin, to be considered the mother, you have to do both. But one thing is clear from this Balei HaTosfos, that just giving birth alone does not make a mother. And therefore, for our purposes, the woman who carries the baby till term, if we follow through with halacha l'maisa based on this Balei HaTosfos, the woman who carries the baby till term and gives birth, al pi din, would not be considered the mother. But there are many other sugyas which we have to attack before we could come to a halacha conclusion. So I urge you all to come back next week where we can continue the conversation. She didn't want to take a chance, right?
How would Shimon know?
Wow. Okay.
He brings it.
Really? Wow. Very good. Okay.
Hello.
How are you?
Very interesting. All right. So I'm just missing something here.
Okay.
Unless it's just saying the answer is just it's an ace. Are these Mefarshim saying they switch the embryos? Just God just says woo.
Yes. There's no better answer than
that's
that.
Woo.
That's woo.
Okay.
Wow.
Either you didn't miss anything, we all missed it. But that's